Bibles as they head on out too. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4 if you haven't already. And as well, there's an outline in the bulletin that will go along with the message if you find it helpful. Thank you to many of you who wished me a happy birthday greetings this week. I had my birthday and I'm old, but not obsolete. Lots of years left. Only gets better. Kind of like a fine wine, huh? We're looking this morning at Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. And we're going to look together at verses 1 through 13. And the title of my message is, Be Ready for Opposition. Be ready for opposition. Let's stand and read that passage of Scripture. Would you stand with me out of reverence and respect for God's Word? And let's read it together this morning. Beginning at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, It is written, Man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered, It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, It says, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. We have just a moment of quiet and then a prayer. Father, take the words and experience and account of your Son and apply it to our hearts. And Lord, may we hear and respond with the wisdom and discernment of the Spirit and obedience to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Over the past few weeks, I've been preaching on the struggle that we have as we seek to follow Jesus. It is a struggle. The word is clear that it is a struggle. And we struggle with several things. Some of them are internal. Our flesh. We struggle with our flesh. Brother Roger Weiss is going to be preaching on that in a couple of weeks. I'm not really going to go into that. I've mentioned it. We talked a little bit about it back in 1 John a few weeks back. Our struggles with our flesh. Then our struggle is also with the world around us. The system of values that the world holds that is opposite, contrary to God's values and God's will. We looked at that just a couple of weeks ago where we said we are not to love the world because of the love of the Father is not in the world. This morning, I want to speak about our struggle with the devil. That we are to be ready for opposition from the devil. We've often heard him called many names. Sometimes he is called the adversary. Sometimes in the scripture he is called the accuser. Jesus called him the liar and the father of lies. Now, he does not come and say to you and me, "Good morning. I would like you to get you involved today in something that is going to bring you misery and wretchedness and in the end is going to dishonor Christ." That's not how he comes. It would be a whole lot easier if he did. We could recognize exactly what he's doing and we could say, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for I want to follow God's will." But he doesn't do that, does he? He comes, as we're told in the scripture, as an angel of light. He comes as a wily serpent. He comes with tremendous diabolical intelligence far beyond what we know and understand. And that's why the scripture says we are to have wisdom. We are to have discernment from the Spirit. As we look at this passage, I want to bring us up to speed here. It says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, went into the desert and was led there by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. The word is diabolos, which basically means the slanderer, their accuser. He is the one who wants to slander you before God. He wants to accuse you and me before God. This is the old serpent, we're told, from Revelation chapter 9, verse 9. Excuse me, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. He's called the old serpent. He is the one that had been in the garden, called the serpent. This is the prince of demons, the god, small g, of this world, the fallen dark angel that seeks to destroy God's work and destroy God's people. As you read the Bible, and especially the Gospels, they do not shy away from addressing and speaking about the fact that the devil exists. There is an evil supernatural being that exists. Now, unfortunately, in our world today, it's been popularized. I remember growing up in the 1960s. Yes, I'm that old. And they had a show called Laugh-In. Anybody remember that show? Well, we got a bunch of old people here, don't we? Laughing. And Flip Wilson came on that show, and he popularized the statement. And his statement was this: The devil made me do it. And here's the thing. That's true. There is truth in that. Of course, what he was trying to do was pass the buck and get rid of personal responsibility. He said, "Oh, well, you know, the devil made me do it. It's all his fault. I had nothing to do with it." Well, that's not quite true, is it? And so we've trivialized the devil. We've made him into this red, pointy-eared, long spiral tail or spiky tail creature, you know, that we put in cartoons and we put in movies. And there's been movies made about it and so on and so forth. But the Gospels do not shy away from affirming that there is a devil. There is an evil, supernatural being, and there is a whole spiritual world around this physical world that we cannot see. And it is filled with evil spiritual beings, some of whom joined in the rebellion with their evil leader, Satan. We're told in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus' words, he said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning." And we're not quite sure of the extent of that. It's telescoping back to the beginning, if it's telescoping to the end, of course, at the time he was being overcome as Jesus handed off his works and his word to his disciples. These evil supernatural beings are just like him. They are fallen angels. Demons they're called in the scripture. And they do the work of their prince. Sometimes, though, Satan undertakes more significant efforts himself. He was successful in tempting Adam and Eve in the garden, tempting them to sin and plunge the whole world into darkness and into sin, and gave up their authority over the earth. That's why we read this a few minutes ago. He says, I have authority to give of this world. Our first parents gave up that authority by his temptation. And here, as we move into this passage, he is seeking to tempt Jesus. He is seeking to tempt him in several ways. He is seeking to get him to avoid the cross, avoid God's work, avoid what God wants him to do as his will. And so, there are times when we say, Satan is tempting me, Satan is attacking me, Satan is opposing me. What it really may be is that it might be just his dark servants may actually be doing it. But what we understand is that it's coming from him. And again, he's not going to come with the pitchfork and the pointy ears and the spiky tail. He's not going to come that way to you and me. No. As Paul says, he comes as an angel of light. The word Lucifer, which is really, it's not a biblical word. It's from the Latin Vulgate, which was translated in the 4th century. And they translate from Isaiah chapter 14, saying, light bearer, or son of the morning, son of the dawn. And it was Lucifer, and he was understood that he was beautiful. He was God's creation. God created Satan. Understand that Satan is in no way on par with God. He is a mere created creature. Now, he is called an angel, and even understood as one of the archangels, one of those that was in charge of a great deal of authority. We're told in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 that he fell, and God cast him from heaven. And he was like, at that point, called Lucifer, or son of the dawn, light bearer, the one whom God cast out of heaven. And so sometimes Satan will come and attack us directly, but most of the time he is sending his minions to tempt and oppose us. And here's the key. You and I have to be ready and aware of opposition that comes from him. Sometimes it's going to come in the form of temptation. Sometimes it's going to come in the form of people opposing us. I know many of you can share situations at work where you're being opposed simply because you're a Christian. Right now, there is all kinds of lawsuits happening all across this nation opposing Christians and opposing Christian businesses because they dare to speak in the name of Christ, serve in the name of Christ, and will stand for what is right, and they will stand for their free speech. Just recently, ACLJ was hit with a lawsuit by an LGBT organization because they dared to stand and witness for the government with this whole situation and issue in the Army about allowing people of that persuasion to serve. And they stood as witnesses. They have been hit with multiple lawsuits for no real reason except to harass them and oppose them. So there's many, many ways that Satan will do that, will do this through his minions, through people. We should be expecting it. We should be ready for the opposition. And the main point of this message is this. It's very simple on the one hand, but it's profound on the other. And it's this, that we must follow Jesus' example in order to overcome the opposition of the evil one. We've got to follow Jesus' example. Don't think that you're immune. Do not underestimate Satan. He is a very intelligent, evil, supernatural being. He is a supernatural being. He is not a person. He is a spiritual being. And here's the thing. He has been tempting, he has been opposing God's people and humans in general for thousands and thousands of years. Do not think that you will overcome him by your intelligence, by your smarts. You may think that you're smart. You may think that, oh, you know, I can deal with this. I remember I was quite young and we were in a prayer meeting and we were praying for the Lord to give us boldness. We wanted to go out and do some evangelizing. And one of the younger brothers that was praying with me said, let's go out and let's kick the devil's butt. And I said, stop. Stop. So let me tell you something. You're not going to kick the devil's butt. But by the power of the indwelling spirit, you can overcome what he throws at you. Amen? You can overcome. You and I can be overcomers and whatever the opposition that he sends our way. So we have to follow Jesus' example. Let us look at how Jesus handles this. Let us look how the Satan attempts to tempt Jesus. We have to understand that Satan is a defeated foe. Yes, Jesus defeated him at the cross. When he said it was finished, it was not only our sins he paid for, but it was the devil's power being broken. In Hebrews chapter 3, it tells us he came to destroy the works of the devil. And he did. And continues. You might ask, well, why isn't it completely done? It's the same question about our flesh. When your flesh is completely removed from you, the devil won't be able to tempt you anymore. But until that day, when you and I have our flesh, we will be tempted. He still attacks fiercely. Do not underestimate him. Do not fool yourself. I got to be honest with you. There were many years that I was fooling myself. I thought, well, you know, Jesus loves me. I'm forgiven of my sins. And I can just live however I want because I'm protected by the Lord. And I got myself into a lot of trouble. I got myself into a lot of mess, a lot of sin. And there came a point where I'm like, man, what the heck am I doing? What is going on in my life? How did I ever get here? I'll tell you how I got here. One temptation at a time. And I gave into it. And I followed it. And little by little, inch by inch, Satan's work was a cinch. Inch by inch. So, let me start by saying, first and foremost, we have been delivered out of Satan's kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his light. The kingdom of the Son he loves. This is Colossians chapter 3, verses 13, excuse me, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. We have been delivered, rescued from the dominion of darkness, and brought into the kingdom of his Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see it? You and I, if we've come to Christ, if we surrender our life to him, we have been what? Rescued. Oh, I didn't know I need to be rescued. You do. We did. You and I have been rescued. And God brought us out of the kingdom of darkness, that dominion that the evil one had over us, and brought them into the kingdom of his Son. Then it tells us, greater is the one who is within us than the one who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Greater is the one who is in us. And it goes on to say, you're from God, you've overcome, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You and I can overcome. We can overcome, because greater is the one who is within us than the one who is in the world. And even, watch this, you with me, say amen. Even if we fail, even if we give in, even if we stumble, even if we fall, we live in forgiveness. We live in redemption. So don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't think that I'm done, I'm thrown out. No, you're not. You're not. Because he is the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance. Over and over again, his forgiveness and grace is unlimited to you and me. But, you know, we've got to come, listen, we've got to come to a point where it's like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being overcome. I'm sick and tired of giving into this sin. I'm sick and tired of giving into this hurt, this habit, this hang-up, whatever it might be. I'm done with this. Lord, I want to overcome. Listen, if you will not get there, if you will not get there, you will remain in that sin. You will give in to that temptation over and over and over again. We have to get to the place where you say, Lord, I want to be done with this. I want to be done with it. Lord, would you, you've rescued me from the kingdom of darkness. Will you rescue me from this sin? Will you rescue me from this temptation? Will you rescue me from this issue, this opposition? I was talking with somebody recently, and we were talking about a mutual friend who unfortunately cannot celebrate years of sobriety. Because their words were, I love to drink. That was their words. That's why they haven't been able to get sober. Because they love to drink. Well, you fill in the blank. Whatever the temptation is that the enemy brings against you, we have to admit it. We've got to come to the end of our flesh and say, Lord, my flesh loves to do this. I, in my flesh, want to do this. It's not me. It's sin living in me. My flesh wants to do this. I cannot overcome in my own strength. Does that sound familiar? It's where one of the first principles from AA came from, in the big book, right? You come to a place where you admit, I'm powerless. Well, guess what? That's a Christian principle that comes from the Word. I have sinned and cannot overcome it in my own strength. We've been delivered from this, and we will continue to be delivered from it as God delivers us from our flesh. So, in order to encourage us and help us to know that we can overcome, we're looking here at the passage, and here's what we need to see. First of all, Jesus was tempted in every way that is common to us. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. Ron Walters is going to read that for us.
For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
The evil one tempted Jesus in all the same categories that we experience. Every specific particular temptation? No. But in categories, in the types of sins. And we'll see here, as we unpack this, how the enemy tempted and went after Jesus. Some of these things were specific to him, but they relate to us as well. So in order to overcome opposition, as we unpack this, number one, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and so must we be. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. I mean, first of all, it does not seem like this is the correct timing. Jesus has just gotten done with ministry. He has just declared that he is the Messiah. He's just read from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 61, and said, I am here, I am in your midst as the one fulfilling this. Today, in your hearing, is this fulfilled. And then he begins to go forth and he goes, gets baptized. I mean, they have baptism service. They're down at the river. And John the Baptist is baptizing people, tells us that thousands were coming out to be, man, this is a joyous occasion. This is great. And Jesus comes and says, John, baptize me, so that all righteousness is fulfilled. Baptize me. And so John baptized him. And he comes up out of the baptism, and what happens? The Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. Like, man, this is awesome. This is awesome. And then, bam! Says the Spirit leads him into the desert to be tempted by Satan. Jesus was first filled, full of the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? We must be filled with the Holy Spirit if we're going to overcome temptation, overcome opposition. Jesus ministered and operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if Jesus, the Son of God, the God-man, operated and lived and ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit, do you not think that we must? Do you think somehow that we are going to live and be able to overcome if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit? We are foolish to think that we will overcome. That we will overcome temptation, we will overcome opposition. And we're just talking here about the devil this morning. We've talked about our flesh, We've talked about the world, and we'll talk about that some more, but we're talking about the devil. We're foolish to think that we're going to overcome him unless we're full of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you constantly feel defeated? Do you feel like, man, I just can't overcome? I just feel like, do you have a general sense somehow that God is just not pleased with you? I hope through the Word this morning that God will encourage you, because that is not from Him. See, sometimes we don't even understand where it's coming from. We think, well, you know, God's just not pleased with me because I'm a failure. I just screw up all the time. I mess up, you know, so much that He's just not pleased with me and I could never be acceptable to Him. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is from the evil one, because that is not God's M.O. That's the devil's M.O. God does not operate like that. God comes to us and says, look, yes, you're a sinner, but I've overcome. The blood of my Son will cover you. So we must be full of the Holy Spirit. Listen, this is not just for special Christians. This was not just for Jesus, the Son of God. This is for you and me. I can tell you when there was a turning point in my walk with Christ. It's when I surrendered my life and got filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the turning point. I remember it. I remember hearing the sermon. I was 19 years old, and I had never heard a sermon like that before. And the preacher was talking from the Scriptures about the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm like, what is he talking about? I've never heard this before. I grew up in a mainline church and they never talked about it. Never heard it. Part of it might have been I wasn't listening. Preacher might have preached it. I had deaf ears. And I realized, Tom, this is what you need. You've been operating in your own strength. You have been trying to overcome. You've been trying to live the Christian life in your own strength. And guess what? It didn't work. I was miserable. I was continually screwing up, continually feeling condemned, continually feeling guilty. Why? Because I was trying to do it in my own strength rather than allowing the Spirit of God to fill me and live Christ's life through me. To be full of the Holy Spirit means this. It has the meaning of an empty vessel being completely filled. It means to be completely permeated with. You see, the Holy Spirit is not a substance. You know, He doesn't screw the top of your head off and pour in Holy Spirit. It doesn't work like that. The Holy Spirit is the person of Christ in the Spirit who comes to dwell in us. And when He comes into our life, He completely permeates everything in our being as you surrender. As we surrender. As we surrender, the Holy Spirit fills us. As we daily surrender, as we completely surrender, as we surrender more, the Spirit of Christ fills us more and more and more. It was D.L. Moody who was preaching. He was preaching his best. And it seemed to him like his words were just coming off the pulpit and just flopping down on the ground. His hearers were not moved. There was no salvations. And he was discouraged, as I would be. And after the meeting, a lady came up to him and she said, that was good preaching, sir, but you lack one thing. She said, you lack the power of the Holy Spirit. How'd you like to hear that at the door? That's a nice sermon, but, you know, you really lack the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Well, guess what? He took it to heart, and he got on his face before the Lord. He said, Lord, if I don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, then it is useless for me to speak. I just look to you. And as he did that, he completely surrendered. He surrendered his preaching. He said, Lord, I can't, but you can. And he began to preach, and thousands began to be saved because it was the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I may not be preaching like that, where thousands are coming to Christ, but the Holy Spirit can fill you and me to do what He's called us to do. To overcome what we need to overcome. To be the person God's called us to be. You can do it. I can do it. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is available for you and for me. Not just for special Christians. It's for you. Amen? You don't believe it. Say amen. It's for you. The Holy Spirit wants to fill us. Now, every day, you make it a matter of a crying out request to the Lord. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I cannot live this life without your power. I cannot live the calling that is on my life, whatever it is. I cannot live your calling without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Holy Spirit, fill me today. And you know what? That ought to be like what we call spiritual breathing. Just as you and I breathe, that ought to be spiritual breathing. You have to breathe spiritually in order to grow spiritually. So every day, you cry out to the Lord. Now, Jesus, at this point, was hungry, tired, and weak. It says he went 40 days without eating. Wow. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Longest I've fasted is 7 days. And I'm telling you, about in the middle of that time, I was ready to tear my pillow into pieces and eat that. That hunger that racks you in your gut. I know after a couple days it ends, but then there comes this ravenous hunger and you're ready to eat anything. Stray cats. Just trying to make sure you're awake. And so in this state, when he's hungry, he's weak, he's tired, and this is often when the enemy comes and attacks. He comes to Jesus and he tries to tempt him in three areas. And these are three areas I said before are common to man. And here's his purpose. If Satan can't keep you from getting saved, he's going to try to keep you to be ineffective, to be off mission. He's going to try to keep you from being effective for Christ and to be off mission. Here's the temptations that correspond to the areas in our lives. Letter A, appetite. Not surprising, right? Satan tempted Jesus first in the area of his appetite. And Satan would tempt you and me and oppose us in our areas of appetites. Now, it may be hunger. Some people, he tempts them with gluttony. As we pick up at the end of verse 2, it says, as we just said a minute ago, he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. He'd not eaten for 40 days. So the tempter says to him, if you are the Son of God, verse 3, really meaning since you are the Son of God, why go hungry? You don't have to do this, Jesus. You're the Son of God. Just make these stones to become bread. Use your power. And Jesus answers him, saying, man does not live by bread alone. Hold on to that thought in just a moment. What's really going on here? You see, Satan was tempting Jesus at the point of his physical appetite, trying to get him off mission. The Spirit had led him into the desert. The Spirit had led him to fast for 40 days. That was his purpose. That's what God had for him to do. And now, the enemy's trying to get him off track. It's not a big thing. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you've been fasting 40 days. You know, what's a little bread? It's just some bread. And Satan says, Jesus, turn these stones into bread. You know you can do it. You're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, just go ahead and do it. Why hold back? Sound familiar? To you and to me? Oh, you're a king's kid. You deserve the best. Why hold back? You're forgiven. Don't worry about sinning. Why hold back? Sound familiar? And Jesus answers him with the word, the truth, in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Man does not live by bread alone. We'll come back to that in a minute. And so he may tempt us with our physical appetite, or he may tempt us with our appetites. Gluttony, lust, sexual sin, anger, substance abuse, to get us off mission as well. To get us to feel condemned. To get us to feel like, I failed once again, Lord. I can't follow you. I might as well hang it up. You can be sure that if Jesus had given in to that temptation, Satan would have been right there as the accuser and the condemner to stomp on Jesus' throat. That's what he does to us. You see, he tempts us to sin, and when we give in, then he stomps on us and says, you dirty, rotten, no good sinner. God doesn't love you because you just continue to do what he told you not to do. That's his M.O. But Jesus overcame because he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he spoke the word. Here's another area. Pride, self-will, verses 9 through 12. He tempts Jesus to use God's power for himself. He tempts Jesus to use sensationalism. Just throw yourself off here. Throw yourself off. In other words, he's going to tempt Jesus and tempt us to use God for our own ends. Honey, I just really think that the Lord wants me to have a Porsche. You know? I'm a king's kid. I should be driving around. I'm a pastor. I should be driving around a Porsche. And won't it be a great testimony to the world around us how I'm blessed? I think I should go get that Porsche today. We laugh, but we talk ourselves into this from the temptation of the evil one all the time. I deserve this. Jesus, you're the Son of God. Cast yourself down because his promise is he will not let your foot be crushed or hurt on the rock. Jesus, just, you know, you could get more disciples by casting yourself off and floating right on down, not hurting you. You'll get more disciples that way. You'll get a crowd. You'll fill this place up. Every week I get something in the mail. It says that basically the same message. Fill your church up. Get the people in your community to come out to your church. And it's some scheme, some program, some something, you know. If you'll send us X amount of money, we'll send you this product. You can hand this product out in your community and people will fill your church up. They'll do it. Have a chicken dinner. We're going past the fire department down in Graceville this morning. Big sign up there. Chicken dinner today. And I thought to myself, you know what? There's going to be more people that come down to the chicken dinner than come out to church. That's just the truth, isn't it? You can fill a place up when you have chicken dinner. If we want to fill this place up, hey, let's have a free meal. Let's have a nice meal. And please don't understand, we don't have to begrudge that at all. But are we coming just for that? Are visitors coming out just for that? Is that what we want our ministry to be filled with? Is that what you want your life to be about? Lord, you know, I just need this thing. And what happens? This thing controls you. It gets you off track. There's nothing wrong with things. But do they have you? Are you using your status with God, your power with God? Are you using it to get off track? Sensationalism. Let us see. Compromise. This is probably the biggest one here. I did it in reverse order here because Luke has it reversed from Matthew's account in chapter 4. Compromise. We read in verse 7 that he says to him, I will give you, this is Satan talking to Jesus, I will give you all the authority and splendor of the kingdoms of the world, because it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to give to. If you will worship me, it will all be yours. See what he's saying? You can bypass the cross. Jesus, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And you can just bypass the cross. You don't have to go through that terrible, terrible, brutal torture and death and crucifixion. You can bypass it. See, sometimes we think that, you know, Jesus, he's the Son of God, and, you know, he's the Son of God. Yes, but he was Jesus, the man, as well. Fully God, fully man. The God-man. Don't think that this was not a temptation for him when he knew what was coming with the cross. He knew what was going to happen on the cross. You remember the garden where he struggled. He says, Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering away from me. But then he gathers himself and says, nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. And Satan tempts him and says, look, You can bypass the cross. I will give you all the kingdoms and the authority of the world. All you have to do is worship me. And Satan tempts us. You can worship God. You can follow Jesus. Just don't get too radical. I mean, you know, you have to live in this world. You have to go through this world. You know, you're going to have to compromise a little bit. You can't be a radical Christian. Everybody will hate you. You'll never get anywhere in life. Everyone's going to oppose you, especially in today's world. You're going to be labeled a radical. You're going to be labeled one of those Jesus freaks. Just compromise a little bit. Do you see it? He comes with the temptation to have one foot in the world and one foot following Christ. Jesus, just bow down and worship me and it'll all be good. That's what he says to us. You can have one foot in the world. It's okay. You can compromise a little bit. It won't hurt. It'll be all right. And Jesus won't have it. He will not have it. He says, worship the Lord your God only. Worship him only. And he says to you and me, later in the chapters, chapter 14, verse 33, unless you give up everything, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you give up everything, nothing else can have a hold on you. Does that mean I have to give up everything? Yes, everything. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? It means what it means. You'll have to work that out with God. Because if God sees that something has you, he's going to work for you to give it up. That doesn't mean you have to go out and sell everything you own like the rich young ruler and give it all to the poor unless Jesus tells you to do that. But you cannot have a hold on anything and nothing can have a hold on you. He talks about family. He said you have to give up mother, father, sister, brother. You cannot love them more than me and be my disciple. These are Jesus' words. You cannot live with compromise. You cannot follow me and have compromise in your life. It doesn't work. There's a lot of people that have... I was looking back the other day at some older directories because we're making some of these new directories, and I was kind of debating, maybe I should use this older picture of me. You know, just Photoshop it over there. I've got hair. I've got less of a belly. And I was looking at the pages, and I was like, wow, look at all these different people that have... They used to come to Island Lines Church. Look at all these people. And many of them, you know what? They're not following the Lord anymore. There's some that they've gone on to other churches, and God bless them. But there's many that are not following the Lord anymore. You know why? Compromise. Compromise. You can break God's laws, and it'll be okay. Because God forgives you. It'll be fine. And yes, God forgives us, but let me tell you something. Satan wants to weave up a weave of wretchedness and displeasure for you. He will. He will. He may also attack us. Time doesn't allow me to go into this, but opposition from other people, illness. He attacks us with these kinds of things as well. And we read at the end of the passage, verse 13, Jesus was left alone. Satan left him until an opportune time. Unfortunately, he doesn't just tempt us once and leave and be done with it. He comes back again and again and again and again. How are we going to overcome such an adversary? How are we going to overcome? We overcome with the truth of God's Word. We overcome as Jesus overcame by speaking the truth of God's Word. There was a man in this congregation who was just beset with condemning thoughts. Just he constantly struggled with that. And he would say, Pastor, I feel so condemned. I feel it all the time. It's like this continual black cloud of condemnation that I feel because I'm a failure. I fail and I sin every day. The very things that I hate and don't want to do, I'm doing these things. and I don't want to do them. I'm asking God to help me stop them. I said, you need to speak the truth to yourself. Now, the thing is, if you don't know the truth, how are you going to speak it to yourself? I said, I want to share a verse with you from Romans chapter 8. And it says this, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who have been called according to His will. I said, you need to memorize that verse. And every day, you need to speak that verse to yourself. Yes, there is an evil one, but he's doing a great job in your own flesh. In your own flesh, your own heart is condemning you. Speak the word of truth over it. You are not condemned because I am Christ Jesus. He had committed his life to Christ. He had given his life to Christ. And he couldn't understand why he was having this kind of condemnation. The reason is because he was listening to the lie of the evil one. He was giving in to the temptation of being deceived and feeling condemned. And you know what? It took a while, but a few weeks later, he said to me, Pastor, it works. It works. He said, and I told him, I went even a little radical. I said, you tell the devil to get behind me. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Those thoughts that you get, you say, those thoughts are not of Jesus. I rebuke those thoughts in Jesus' name. Get behind me. And he started doing it. Now, you may think, oh, Pastor, you're hokey. You're so hokey. I'm hokey for Jesus. You know what? If you had condemning thoughts that were coming at you constantly, you'd get hokey too. Amen? Whatever it takes, you say to those thoughts that come in the name of Jesus, they are not of you, Jesus. Be gone in Jesus' name. Not in my authority, not in my strength, but Jesus' strength. And you know what? If I were to mention to you, say, man, you know, I don't know if he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, he is. You know why? Because of simple recognition that I need the Holy Spirit and His power in my life, and I surrender. This is why some of you out there are not filled with the Holy Spirit. It's because you will not come to terms with yourself. Like I talked about last week, you will not come to terms with the fact that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're more concerned about what other people think about you. You know, oh, I can't go up there. I can't, you know, when Pastor gives the call, I can't go up there because people are going to think I'm, you know, I'm a terrible sinner. Well, you know what? We are. What are you thinking? We are terrible sinners, but we are forgiven and we are cleansed. And we are brought out of the kingdom of darkness. And God wants to pour His Holy Spirit into you and me. But you won't give Him the opportunity. You won't let it. You've got to lay it down, folks. You've got to come to this altar and lay it down to the Lord. And that's the only way you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be... We sang that song. Come and fill this place. But it's got to be, come and fill this heart, Lord. Come and fill this heart. And you see, when we do that, these other things begin to fall into place. When you're filled with the Spirit, then you have a longing for the Word. You have a taste for the Word. And then you know the Word and you speak the Word. And you understand, you have discernment when the evil one comes against you and you begin to speak against it. You see it for what it is. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up and play that song, Come and Fill This Place. I'm going to ask Roger and Mike to come. We have oil up here. And we're not going to make a big deal of this today, but if you want to be filled with a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, if you have been struggling and you know you need to overcome, you know the enemy has been opposing you, then come. And let the elders anoint you with oil. What we'll do is, Roger, if you stay over that area, Mike, you come over this area. You'll have two lines. Come and just let them anoint you with oil and pray over you that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can make a line down the aisles and come and be prayed for. So the worship team is going to start to play. Let's all stand. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for the ministry of your Holy Spirit right now. Lord, I pray that you will break through. Lord, break through a our stubborn, unwilling hearts. Lord, sometimes we know what we need, but we're not willing. And I pray right now for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to overcome that unwillingness in our hearts, Lord, that we will desire to be filled afresh and new with your Holy Spirit more than worried about anyone else. So, Father, do your work right now by the Spirit.